We're going to continue on in our series where we started last week. What about the tithe? And if you get nervous and leave, not much I can do about that. But seriously, as I mentioned last week, the last time that I spoke on tithing and giving, I may have once or twice over the years, but the last time I ever done it as a series was back in 1998. That's back in the 1900s. So, so we're due for another little series on it. So probably another week or two we'll finish it up. But anyhow, last week we talked about tithing. There's a lot of debate going on today, wondering if tithing is a New Testament thing or if it's just an Old Testament thing, if it passed away with the law or whatever happened to it. And we looked at some things last week, I should say, and we talked about tithing as a principle that is still in effect today. And we looked at the Bible, talks about over in Hebrews, talking about Jesus, who is a type of Melchizedek, or Melchizedek, I should say, is a type of Jesus. Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek. And remember last week, we had, maybe I'll do it up again, because I'll probably use it again through the sermon anyway. Let's go back here. This is Adam. This is creation back here. Okay, and we come up, and we called it this here Abraham. This here is Moses, and over here we have Jesus bringing in the new covenant. Okay, so this is, so we're, see where we're at again. This is back at creation. This is Abraham 2,000 years later. But 500 years after that, 400 some odd years after that, Moses came along, brought in the Ten Commandments, the law, the sacrificial system of the old covenant that came in right here. And that came up until the time that Jesus died on the cross and brought us into a new covenant. Okay, we've gone through this a number of times. We've looked at this side of the platform here as the law, and we look at this side over here as grace, or the new covenant, the old covenant, new covenant, whichever term you want to look at it. Now, so we've looked at some things last week, and the Bible says that Abraham, he went out and defeated some kings, and on the way back he met a fellow named Melchizedek, and Melchizedek just shows up from nowhere. He just appears like a blurb on the screen, and then gone again. Don't hear talk of him anymore until you get into the New Testament. There's one other reference to him in Psalms, just referring back to that, but there's nothing else, no more information about him. And so over here, Abraham, the Bible says, now this is about 2,000 years from Adam. Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. He was the priest of the Most High God. Over in Hebrews, the Bible tells us that Melchizedek had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no end of years, no end of life. And he lives forever. That's what scripture says. You know, either he is Jesus appearing in the Old Testament, or else he's a good figure of Jesus. And the reason they said he probably never had no life, no beginning of days, no end of days, that there's no record of it. That's what a lot of people believe, because there's no record of it. They say that he is no beginning, no ending. There's other people who see him as a theophany. A theophany is an appearance of Jesus in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, I should say. And so anyway, whichever way it is, he's a picture of Jesus. And the Bible says, here, men receive tithe, but there, he receives tithe, of whom it is written, he lives. Okay, now Jesus, of whom it is testified that he lives. Jesus lives. So I believe that when we bring our tithe, our offerings, we bring them to the Lord. You bring them to a physical location, you know, same as it did back in the old covenant, obviously. You bring it here on the earth, because you can't take your money and, you know, do a bank transfer to heaven. And matter of fact, no good up there anyway. Heaven doesn't run on Canadian dollars. Okay, you got to understand that. But anyway, but as we bring it to the house of God here on the earth, the Bible says here men receive tithe, but there God receives them, Jesus receives them. And as we bring it, our tithe to the Lord, Jesus receives them. Now, we're going to look at some things today. And remember, the Bible talks about Melchizedek met Abraham back here, 2,000 years after Adam. Another 400 years, 400 some odd years before the law came in. A lot of people say, oh, tithing is only under the law. No, tithing was before the law. The tithing is not covenant, what's the way you're saying it? Specific. It's not bound to one particular covenant. Okay? It was back there, and you'll find out today that it was even back here as well. But you'll find out that what we read last week, we read about Abraham right here receiving, giving tithe. Then when it came into this period right here, the 1500 year period under Moses, the Ten Commandments, the law, the sacrificial systems, all the different things that they brought in here, it was made a law that they had to do. Okay, it was made a law, and there was punishments associated with it and everything else. Now, so anyway, we're going to begin today, and if you go back to the Old Testament, we don't have time to get into all of it, obviously, but if you go back to the Old Testament and read it, and a lot of people get confused because you have to make a difference. There are three tithes that are mentioned back in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. I'm just going to tell you what they are and go on from there. Back under the Old Testament system, especially under this system right here, this 1500-year period, the age of the law, under this system, you had the Levitical tithe, or the Lord's tithe it was called, the Levitical tithe that was there for the Levites, the priest. And then you also had a tithe called the festival tithe, the Feast of Tabernacles. They would get together and have a big celebration. God told them to bring the tithe, and they would come down. Now, this is left over from what, you know, the tithe from what was left over. And they would come to Jerusalem, and they would have a big celebration. And this went on for 7 days. They would have this big celebration, and this was the funds that they used, because this was all part of God's plan of salvation and showing them, you know, what Jesus is going to accomplish for us. And so there was a festival tithe that they would come once a year, and they had to go up to Jerusalem and worship the Lord. Now, there were offerings that we would bring at Pentecost and Passover, Passover, which is our Easter season, Pentecost, which was around our June month, and then they would have Tabernacles in the fall. They would have another festival. But this festival of Tabernacles, they would bring the festival tithe for that. Now, and then there was also a tithe called the poor tithe, or the tithe for the poor, or the welfare tithe, some theologians refer to it, because this was every 3 years they would put aside what they had in their own storehouses, in their own cities where they lived. And anybody that was poor, that was going through struggles at that time, could go to the storehouse and get belongings. It's almost like a welfare type thing to look after the poor people. Okay, so this is why some people call it the welfare tithe. Now, so that happened every third year. They would have to do that. And plus, any crops, they would have to leave crops out in the fields for people to take and everything else. If there's some families that are struggling and things like that, they would have something to fall back on. Now, they never had welfare systems like we have in our society today, and the church or the synagogue or the temple, I should say, looked after all these different areas of society. Okay, so you need to understand when it took place. Anyway, these tithes were under right here. But now, let's go back here again. Abraham gave tithe. Now, if you understand and don't understand, maybe you're new and say, what's he talking about, tithe? Tithe means one-tenth. Okay, means one-tenth. Okay, now, so he gave, Abraham, the Bible says, gave one-tenth of everything that he had. He gave it to Melchizedek back here. Now, don't get nervous. And I'm not going to take another offering. I told you last week, we're not going to take another offering after the service is over, so don't you know, walk out on me. But anyway, back here, back in Genesis. Now, you know the story of Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look at a passage. But I got a couple of scriptures you want to read. You can jot those down and look them up some other time again. Psalm 24 and 1. Because the tithing, the entire rationale behind the tithing is that God owns everything. Okay, that's one thing. If you think that you own something, is hard to deal with tithing. But if you understand that God owns everything, tithing is not so hard to get along with. Now, Psalm chapter 24 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's." Now, you got to understand, God created everything. He owns it by creation. You understand that? You know, he can do whatever he wants to with it. Sometimes we get upset and say, "Why God do that way?" As he is, he can do whatever he wants to with it. I mean, if you go out and paint your house purple on bottom and green on top and yellow in the middle, and there's nothing to me. I can't do anything about it. You own it. It's yours. You can do what you want to with it. You understand? God can do what he wants to with the earth. Now, anyway, Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." In other words, everything that's in it. "The world and they that dwell therein." Everything belongs to God. The earth, the fullness thereof, and they, that's us, the people that dwell therein, all belong to God. Psalm 50 and verse 10 to 12. God says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. God said, I'm not depending on you. I own everything there. I mean, we got to get that principle. And God is very strong about that principle. And we look at that as we get into it in a minute. 1 Chronicles 29:14. Now this is when they're going to build a temple, and David was gathering all the material. David was going to die before the temple was built, but Solomon was going to build a temple. But David was gathering all the gold, the silver for years. He was gathering it and storing it all in a storehouse. And then he asked the people to bring some extras in and different things. And then this is what David said, you know, a prayer that he made. He said, "Who am I, and what is my people?" This is 1 Chronicles 29:14. "Who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" Now he's praying this to God. He said, "For all things come of thee," or comes from you, "and of thine own hand and of thine own have we given thee." In other words, he said, everything we've given back to you, God, he said, belong to you anyway. You know, he's been gathering the gold, the silver, you know, all the things for to build a temple, and the stone and everything. And he said, "Who are we that you bless us so much that we can gather all these things together?" He said, "But it's all yours anyway. It's from your hand in the first place." Okay, one other verse, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. God says, "Behold, the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, the earth also, and all that therein is." Okay, so God owns everything. Anybody got any doubt with that? I don't have to convince you anymore. God owns it all. Okay, he created it. It's his. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28. Now remember, who owns everything? Okay? God owns how much? Everything. The beast of the field, everything is on the mountains, all the animals on the mountains, the fowls of the air, everything is in the world, he said, and they that are in the world, that's us. Everybody understand that? So God owns everything. Okay. Here in Genesis chapter 21, or chapter 1 rather, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them," that's man, or mankind, "have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. Now get this. First of all, God gave them dominion, and then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything living that moves on the earth." Now, so here we have God gave mankind through Adam, who was the federal head of the human race, he gave Adam dominion over all the earth. But you see, it's not enough just to have authority. If I said to you, listen, I want you to, let's say we're going to do some work on the church, so we say, I want you to paint the church. Okay. First thought is going to come to mind, where's the paint? Where's the brushes? Where's the rollers? Where's the, you know, give me something to work with. You know, give me some authority to go down to Home Hardware or somewhere to buy the materials or whatever. You understand? You got to have some way to use that authority. And this is what the blessing was all about. God gave them dominion over the earth, but they couldn't do anything until God blessed them. And God blessed them, and that was with that blessing, there was that anointing, that power to accomplish this dominion. Everybody follow that? Until you had some power behind command or that gift of dominion, until you had some power behind that, you were useless. You know, if I went out there on the street and there's somebody coming down the road fast and I put up my hand and said, "Listen, I'm going to give you a ticket," they just look at me and say, "Man, you're crazy." You know? You got no power to do that. You've got no authority to. But now if I went out and I had a police uniform on or a badge or whatever, and then I went out, well, then I got some authority. You understand that? You know, I mean, you can go out and if there's one policeman down around the corner and you're doing something stupid and he stops you, you know you got to stop. You might be 10 of you, And you can overpower him physically and everything else. But that's got nothing to do with it. You know that he's got a whole lot of other people behind him that can back him up. And this is what the anointing was. This is what the blessing was God's power behind that authority to back it up. You understand it? Just having dominion wasn't enough. He needed God's power behind it to back it up. Now, so anyway, we see this scenario being played out here. And until God blessed him, he couldn't do anything about it. But then the Bible says, God said to Adam and Eve, now go over to Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to try to not spend too much time digging into it, because you could take one of these verses and just go on and on and on, but I just wanted to touch on them and go quickly. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Now, how much does God own? Everything. Okay? How much did man own? Nothing. But God gave him dominion over all. The Bible tells us in Psalms and tells over again in Hebrews that God gave man dominion over all the works of his hands. Okay, everything that was on the earth, what we just read, God said, I give you dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, the land, everything is on it. I give you dominion over it. All the trees of the field, everything. God has given man dominion over it. Right? But man cannot exercise that dominion until he's got the backing of God, until he's got the authority or the power, the anointing from God to do anything about it. Now, here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Now remember, God created the earth, and the Bible says he planted a garden in the east of Eden. He planted a garden there in the east of Eden. And in that garden, you know the story, there were all kinds of trees, and there were all kinds, I mean, everything that man wanted, it was there. You know, everything was growing, everything was prospering, everything was blessed. God's anointing was there. God gave man the dominion plus the anointing to carry it out, plus that blessing to go along with it. So God says, he took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, now this is back here, right at the beginning of creation, okay? Back here in Adam's time. Okay, this is 2,000 years before Abraham came along. God said to man, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now we don't know, I mean, there might have been Bible scholars and theologians, I don't know how to figure this out, but they say the tree was probably in a very prominent place in the garden, probably in the, you know, in the center of the garden somewhere, a very prominent place that you could see it from anywhere. I don't know. You know, but God said to Adam and Eve, of every tree, there was probably millions, probably billions of trees, we don't know. Of every tree that's in the garden, you can freely eat. I've given it to you. Okay? He said, God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? God says, you can take any other tree anywhere else, but don't touch mine. This is my tree. You understand that? Now, how much did God own? Everything. Right? So God says, Adam, you can have anything else, but don't touch mine. You can keep it, you can look after it, you can touch it, you can do, but you can't eat it. You can't eat from my tree. Okay? Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God says, Adam, the day that you eat of that, you will die. Now, you got to understand something, and this will come out a little later on. This tree is a picture of what belongs to God in the midst of everything else that God has let us use. Okay? This is a picture of the tithe. God says, don't touch it, Adam, because the minute you eat of that tree, you will die. There's consequences. Now, Adam never dropped down dead. You know the story. Adam never dropped down dead, but spiritual death came in. The minute that they ate of that tree, the blessing was gone. That blessing lifted, and all of a sudden, they look at each other, and they recognize that they were naked. Now, before that, The Hebrew language sort of implies that they were covered with almost like a glow, the glory of God, the blessing of God, the anointing of God was upon them. And the minute they ate of that fruit, all of a sudden the Bible says their eyes were open and they recognized that they were naked and they ran and hid. And you know the story, they took some fig leaves and everything else and they tried to make something to cover themselves. And God came down through the garden calling out to Adam and they were hiding. And, well, anyway, I don't want to get into all this story. You know that story anyway. Okay, let's continue to move on. So that tree is a picture of what belongs to God. It's a picture of the tithe. They had authority over all the garden to dress it, to keep it, even that tree, but they weren't allowed to eat from it. Now you got to understand something. This tree was amongst all their stuff, but it belonged to God. Our tithe is amongst our own income and everything else, but it belongs to God. Now don't get mad at me. This is, you know. God says, Adam, you can touch it, you can do anything else with it, but you can't eat from it. It belongs to me. So here we are from the very onset of creation. God made it very clear about his ownership of everything. And what he owns, we don't touch. Centuries later, when the children of Israel were about to go into the promised land, God warned them through Moses. They were just getting ready to go into the promised land, going in across the Jordan River, and Jericho was going to fall before them and different things. And Moses was about to die. And he said to the children of Israel, give them the last words. He said, listen, when you get into the land, don't forget who gave you the power to get in there. He said, when you get in there, he said, you start to prosper and all everything starts to happen. You know, you get the land is flowing with milk and honey and all the blessings of God are there and all these different things. Don't fall into the trap of forgetting who brought you in there. And that's the danger with all of us. There's times when God will bless us. And what you see, you know the sad part about it? And you know it as well as I do. But the sad part about it, when people are going through struggles in life, and I'm not being critical here, I'm just talking about even our own lives. When we go through struggles in our lives, the first thing we do is run to God. And it seems like as soon as God starts to straighten our lives out and things are back in order, we forget about God. And this is what Moses was warning them. He said, listen, you've come through hard battles. You've gone through some hard things under slavery, under the Egyptians, everything else. You're going into a new land. God's going to bless you. You're going to have crops of your own. You're going to have your own houses to live in because they never had this before. He said, God's going to bless you with all these blessings. But when you get there, don't forget who gave you the power to get there. Don't forget who brought you into the land. See, this is what God is concerned about all the time. I mean, even communion, we take communion this morning. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. God is very concerned that we'll forget about who he is. Okay, so God says to Adam, he said, Adam, you can have everything. But just so you remember something, he said, I'm going to put one here, he said, that you can't touch. Just a reminder that it's mine. Everything is mine. You understand that? Now, so Adam, you know the story anyway. Adam goes along, him and Eve, well, Eve first and Adam, but he took out the fruit of the tree, the Bible says, they ate that fruit. And then, as I said, their eyes were open, they recognized that they were naked and all these different things. And the Bible says God had to cover them with animal skins. God had to cover them with animal skins to cover their nakedness, which is a picture of an animal dying, which would you see all through this time period right here. The animal sacrifices and everything else, you see all that down through here, especially down through here, but even back here, there were animal sacrifices. And through that animal's dying, these people had their sins covered. All these are pictures of Jesus. Through his dying, we would have our sins cleansed completely, washed away. Okay, now, so Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and because they disobeyed God, they lost the blessing. Now, he still had dominion. Remember, the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Adam still had dominion. Mankind has still got dominion over the earth. But somewhere along the line, we've lost that anointing, that power to make that dominion work the way that God intended it to. So Adam and Eve, they sinned. And you need to understand, the Bible says, and you'll read, we don't have time to get into it, but God says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 there, God says, cursed is the ground for your sakes. In the sweat of your face, you will eat bread of it until the day you die. God, there was a curse that came upon the land because Adam and Eve touched what was belonging to God. Now, So you see how the curse starts is when they start to mishandle what belonged to God. Or in other words, if it's a picture of the tithe, we could say they start to mishandle the tithe, what belonged to God. Remember, the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's, it is holy unto him. The tithe belongs to God. It's holy unto the Lord. Now, so they mishandled the tithe. Then, if you go down through history, and I'm just trying to skip over some things here because it would take too long. But if you go down through history, you find that in order for man to have any blessings from God from now on, there seems to be God has got to step in and make a covenant with him. And you see this down through, and we've talked about this before, the different dispensations. We started back here in the Garden of Eden was a dispensation of innocence, and then it was a dispensation of conscience, and then it was human government and promise and law and dispensation of grace, and eventually we're going to have the millennial dispensation. All these different dispensations, but all down through these covenants, God dealt with man in different ways through these covenants. And in order for God to deal with man have a relationship with God, he had to work through the workings of the covenant. Back under this system right here, you had to work under the law in order to have a relationship with God. You had to work through covenants. And the only way that man could receive that blessing back is being obedient to the covenants. And we see this all down through history. But man had lost that ability to prosper. And if you go on down through and look at what took place, the Bible tells us that Abraham, you see, you got to understand that back here, Adam, the tithe was right from back in the beginning. In other words, the ownership of God was right back here in the beginning. There was a mark back there in the beginning what belonged to God. Adam missed it. Adam mishandled it. And because of that, brought a curse in. Lost the anointing to be able to prosper. Lost the anointing to be able to flow into the blessings and the covenants of God. He lost that anointing until God would step in and make a covenant with them so that man would have a way to get back in fellowship with him again so that God could still bless them in the midst of all the curse, because right here, there was a curse to come upon the ground. Remember, he said, curse shall be the ground for your sake because of what Adam did. Now, so as they come down through history, Abraham knew about it, because the minute that God blessed Abraham, Abraham came out and he saw the priest of God and he brought the tithe immediately to the priest of God. Isaac was blessed. The Bible says, and see, here's what the anointing does, what the blessing that they lost, what the blessing does, it makes, for instance, if you're remember Isaac, the Bible says Isaac harvested a great crop even in the midst of a famine. Everyone else, their fields were all dying, were drying up, and nothing was happening. Isaac's crops were growing in the midst of famine. What the anointing does, what the blessing does, it gives you the ability to prosper even when everything else is falling to pieces. Even when the world's economy is turning down like it did a few years ago and we're still down there now, even when all these things are happening, it gives you the blessing to rise above that, that even though other people are going under, you can keep your eyes upon God and be obedient to him, and God will bless you. That's what the blessing does. It's beyond the natural limits. God blesses his people to prosper. And Abraham, as I said, Abraham knew about it. Isaac knew about it. Jacob knew about it. When Jacob was running for his life, he said to God, he said, if you'll bring me back and bless me where I'm going and bring me back safe to my father, he said, I'll give you 1/10 of everything I make. Remember that? They knew all these things around there. Now, this is before the law even came into existence. Some people said, oh, no, tithing went out with the law. Tithing was here before the law. And it's there after the law. I mean, this is a principle that God set right from the Garden of Eden. Now, so as they come down through history, and we don't have time to get into all, there's a lot of different scriptures I could go into there, but let's go over and just jump a few things. The book of Malachi. Now, this is a very familiar passage. Anybody knows anything about tithing? They've heard this passage quoted a good many times. But remember what God said. Now, remember what happened back here in the Garden of Eden. When Adam sinned and touched the tithe, there was a curse that came. That was in the very first book of the Old Testament. The last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, right before the New Testament, God was still dealing with the same thing with the people. God said, you're cursed with a curse. They said, what? Curse? What happened? And they said, you know, why are we cursed? And God said, because, well, let's read it there. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 down to 9. God says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." This is Israel. You're not consumed. He said, "For from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you," says the Lord of hosts. But you say, "Wherein shall we return?" What are you talking about, return to you? How do we return? "Wherein shall we return?" And God says, "Will a man rob God?" This is what Adam did back there. He stole from God. He said, "Will a man rob God?" He said, "Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you?" And God says, "In tithes and offerings." And then he says, "You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me," even this old nation. Now, they lost their ability to prosper because they touched what belonged to God's. Belonged to God, I should say. See, let me put it this way. And I'll say it this way, not to try to, but I just try to get a point across. I've been tithing all my life, from the time I was a teenager, before I started working out, you know, in the workforce, and all while working in the workforce, and now in ministry, always tithe. It's never a problem. Okay? Let me say a statement, and you're going to think this is a wrong statement, but it's true. Tithing is not about money. See, once you get that in your mind, it changes everything. Tithing is not about money. It's about honoring God, loving Him. Ownership. Well, let's continue on. God says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith." God says, "Prove me in this." God says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith," says the Lord, "if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground." Now, remember what was happening? Back here, God said, "Because you touched it, the ground is cursed." Over here in Malachi, you're cursed. The whole nation is cursed. Why? Because you've not been tithing. You've been holding it back. Now, we'll look at some other things next week concerning that, but don't get upset with me, okay? I'm not putting any pressure on you. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to ask you for an offering. I'm not going to try to convince you or say you're going to hell if you don't tithe or anything. Don't get that in your mind. I'm just telling you what God's Word says about it. You can make your own decision after. Okay, and don't feel bad one way or the other. Okay, this is not the intention of this, but, you know, we need, and matter of fact, if you read what's happening in Malachi, God got angry at the priests because they weren't telling the people about tithing. So I've got to tell you in order to be on good terms with God. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, God says, "Prove me." I mean, this is the only time in Scripture God tells us to prove Him. God says, "Prove me." He said, "If I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour the blessing so much you won't be able to contain it." And he said, "Beside that," he said, "I'll rebuke the devourer," the one that's stopping your crops from growing and blessing your income and stopping your job from producing good money for you and stopping your business from working. God said, "I'll rebuke the devourer. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts." Now, here's something. We just went through a series called The Great Exchange. These people are going through a cursed situation in their productivity, in their nation, everything else. Their economy was bad and everything else. And God says, "I want to do an exchange with you." They say, "In what?" God says, "In your tithe and offering." God says, "You return it to me. You return the tithe to me. I'll return the blessing to you." That's what he's saying. I mean, you read what he's talking about. He says, "Return to me, I'll return to you." How? Tithes and offerings. And he said, "I'll pour the blessing. You return the tithe, I return the blessing." Because he's telling you're living without the blessing. You know, you got the general blessing because you're living in Israel, but you're not experiencing the fullness of the blessing of God because you've been holding back what belonged to me. Same thing happened back there in the Garden of Eden. See, the blessing is a spiritual empowerment that produces material things in the natural realm. Okay? Some people think blessings are all spiritual things out there floating around somewhere out in, you know, the spirit realm somewhere. But God wants his people blessed in this realm as well. And the blessing is a supernatural empowerment that would help us to, in the natural realm, to receive the blessings that God wants us to have and the things that we need to live with. But God says you've got to get your priorities straight. You've got to get things in order. You've got to understand who owns everything. And you have to understand, I mean, God says, everything there, he said, I own it all. But he said, I let you use 90% of it if you just remember my part of it. You can have the other 90%. And beside that, and I've proven this, and I've told you the story dozens of times. I got a cousin living in Ontario, in the Toronto area there now. When he got saved, he was 48 years old when he got saved, gave his heart to the Lord. And I was driving up the road one day, and he was walking up to the post office to get his unemployment check. Back in those days, you know. And, well, I guess even today. But anyway, he was going up, it's not called unemployment now, what is it called? EI or, anyway, whatever it is. He's going up to get his check up to the post office. And he just got saved as far as I can remember, just probably in that week. I know it was very recent after he got saved. And so we're going up, and he said, Steve, he said, I got to ask you something. You know, he knew, you know, who I was, my cousin, but he knew I was saved on my life and tithing. He said, Steve, he said, I got to ask you something. He said, how does tithing work? And so I told him, you know, what I do. And I says, 10% of your income. He said, man, he said, I can't do that. And he said, 10%? He said, like, you know, and at the time, I think it was $170. He's making 17, his tithe would have been $17. He's getting $170, you know, every 2 weeks for his unemployment. And he said, $17? He said, man, he said, I can't do that. He said, like, you know. And I knew him. I said, I tell you what. I said, you put your tithe in. And I said, 2 weeks down the road, if God never bless you for, you know, and you still comes short of that money, I said, I give it back to you. Now, I wasn't a pastor. I was just, you know, but just a person in church. I said, you put your money into the offering, and if it doesn't work, I'll give it back to you in 2 weeks. I'll give it to you myself. Sure enough, 2 weeks down the road, we're going to church. I was driving up the road again, same thing. He was walking up the road again, going up to get his unemployment check. And I pulled over and picked him up again, and we were just talking different things. And he went up to get his check, and he said, I'm going to show you something. And he reached in his wallet, pocket, took out his wallet, opened up. There's a $20 bill in there. He said, I've never had that in my life. He said, $20 left over, he said, when payday came, or when the unemployment check came. Never, ever had that before, he said. You know. And I said, well, you know, did you struggle? No, he said, like, matter of fact, he said, this is one of the best weeks, you know, 2 weeks, whatever it was, we've ever had. You know. And from that time on, that fellow, as far as I know, is always tithe. You know. Because you can't outgive God. I know we say that over and over and over. You can't outgive God. Some people say, I can't afford to tithe. And I keep saying over, you know, back to me, I can't afford not to tithe. Honestly. I'm not saying that as a gimmick because I'm the pastor. I'm not going to take another offering. You know? And I'm not saying just try to raise money because, I mean, like I said, this is the first time since 1998 I preached on it. So we're not always asking for money. And I'm not asking for money now. I'm just telling you what God's Word says about it. Okay, you honor God, God honor you. This is why the Lord says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. It's a thing about honor. This is what this is all about here back in the Garden of Eden. It was about honoring God for what belonged to him. Now, give you a couple more little things. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18, God says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. You get that? God is the one who gives you power to get wealth. And this is what this is all about. God is saying, listen, if you honor me, I'll empower you to get wealth. I'll empower you to be blessed. I'll empower you for your life to come in, you know. And listen, I'm sure every last one of us, those that are tithing, those that have experimented with it, if you want to use that term, over the years, When you're going through a struggle in your finances, see, this is God does a lot of things that seems backward to their natural mind. You understand that? I mean, God delivered the children of Israel by telling Moses to put a stick out across the water. All of a sudden, the water opened up. I mean, that's not, don't make sense. You can throw every stick that's out in Egypt into the water. It's not going to do that. But when God tells you to do something, there's an anointing attached with it. You know, like little boy's lunch again, you know, feeding the 5,000 people. That's not normal. What did Jesus do? The Bible says Jesus took the bread, lifted it up, and blessed it. And then gave it to the people. See, when the blessing is there, there's multiplication. And I've seen people over the years, and you know as well as I do, if you honor God, see, God's not concerned about the amount. Now, you get this? He's concerned, let me clarify that. He's concerned about his tithe. But if your tithe is $1, my tithe is $10, it makes no difference to God. Both of us are equal. You understand that? I was listening to or reading this week, a fellow that came to, this is back in 1898. I mean, it's 116 years ago. I forget the name of the newspaper now. It was somebody in England had a newspaper. And he hired this young fellow on to work. And the guy that owned the newspaper had to travel to America. Now, this is back, you know, 100 years ago. And he came to America and was gone for several months. And when he came back, he said to the young man, he said, I'll give you, he said, $40 a week, which is big money in that day. This is 116 years ago. He said, I'll give you $40 a week. And the man thought, man, that's wonderful, you know. He said, but I want you to promise, he said, you'll be faithful. And he said, and the man was a Christian, owned a newspaper. He said, make sure you tithe to God. He said, because I want my newspaper blessed. He said, you tithe to God from your salary. So faithfully, for several months that he's gone, this young man got his check. He would take $4 and put it into, you know, the offering in his church. And the newspapers started to prosper and grow and everything else. And the man came back several months later, came in and went down through the books and everything and saw everything that was happening. He called the young man into his office. He said, I'm going to give you a raise. He said, God has honored you. He said, and bless you. Now, you got to understand, this is 1898, okay, 116 years ago. He said, I'm going to give you a raise. He was getting $40 a week, which is big money in that day. He said, I'm going to give you, he said, $250 a week. He said, because, he said, I see God's hand is upon you. Now, I was also reading in the same little article there about this fellow. And it's strange because it was the same amount, $40. This fellow came to, I think it was Dale Carnegie. Or Andrew Carnegie, I guess it was the steel fellow way, way, way back. He said to him, he's going to work with him. And he's getting $40 a week, I think it was. And so the man went to his pastor. He said, I want to tithe, he said. And he said, how do I do it? So the pastor told him, he said, well, he said, $4 a week. He said, it belongs to God. He said, that's God's portion. You don't touch it. That's holy to the Lord. And so anyway, he started his job, and he started tithing $4 a week. And he said, but the pastor said to him, he said, but you got to understand, he said, when God starts blessing you, same thing Moses told children of Israel, don't forget who's blessing you and always honor him with the first fruits. So he would take out $4 every week and he put in the offering. And soon the business started to grow and, you know, he started growing. Now this is, again, this is back in the 1920s, I think it was. And he said, it grew so much, and the guy kept, you know, increasing his tithe to match whatever his income was. And he said to the pastor said to him, he said, when your income increases, he said, you got to increase your tithe. He said, you got to give the 1/10 to God. That belongs to God. That's his. That's God said, don't touch it. That's mine. The tithe is holy to the Lord. And he said, it went on for a couple of years, and the young man ended up giving, tithing, $500 a week. That was back in 1920s. He was tithe. I mean, I'd like to be able to tithe that much now. You know, 100 years later. But he was tithing $500 a week. And he came back into the past because all of a sudden he started, you know, and you know what? We're all like it. Selfishness starts to get in there, a bit of greed. And we say, man, that's a lot of money. You know? And he went back to the pastor. He said, make a deal. He said, on our tithing. He said, can I change that? He said, and you know, get a different contract for that. And the pastor said, no. He said, you can't really. He said, because he said, that belongs to God. He said, but what I can do, if you find that too much, he said, I can pray. He said, that God will bring your salary down till you give him $4 a week again. No, he said, forget it. He said, forget it. We just leave it as is, you know. Because you can't outgive God. Let me a couple of illustrations from Scripture, and I'll finish up with this. The Garden of Eden, let's go back here again, for instance. Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God, because of Adam's fall, because of Adam took God's portion, okay, they had to go out from the Garden of Eden. God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. Remember the story? And he put two cherubim there. And you read about cherubim angels, they're always guarding God's presence. And they were there with flaming swords to keep the way to the tree of life. In other words, keep man from going in and taking from the tree of life. Now, Bible theologians tell us that those angels, those cherubim, were there guarding that probably until the time of the flood. We don't know for sure, but probably until the time of the flood. So, and there are several generations. I got a big chart on my wall in the office, and it starts out with Adam and tells you what people lived together with Adam and run on down through. And you got Enoch and Lamech and Methuselah and all these different ones, you know. But the Bible tells us, and I just think this is probably the way it happened. Adam and Eve were driven outside their garden. Every day they were out there working, sweating, you know, slaving out there, going through the weeds and everything else, and the thorns and the thistles, and, you know, just trying to make a living for themselves. And they would look over and see this beautiful garden. But there's those angels that wouldn't allow them back in. You know, you got to understand those angels were there. And they saw those angels there with those flaming swords, not allowing them to get back in there again because they touched what belonged to God. There was a curse. And I'm sure Adam said to his boys, as they were growing up, Cain and Abel, said, boys, listen. I'm sure they asked, how come those angels are over there with the swords up at a, you know? Well, it's a long story. Myself and your mother, God put us in that garden. That's where we lived. Before you were born, but that's where we lived. Sometimes we try to explain that to the little children now. Well, before you were born, we lived in Newfoundland. Well, was I there too? No, you weren't there, you know. And, you know, this is what it was like. They said, we used to live inside that garden, and everything was absolutely beautiful. I mean, there was no thorns, there were no thistles, there were no bugs that would bite us. Everything was just a blessed place to live. Well, what happened? Well, another long story, but we disobeyed God. God told us there's a tree in there that we could have. I mean, there were billions of trees. We could have eaten of any fruit that we want. You know, whatever we need, it was in there. But there's one tree that God told us not to touch. Yeah, and we touched it. And we ate the fruit. And because of that, we're driven out of that garden. And God had to kill an animal to cover our nakedness. And boys, listen to me. You know, I can picture Adam saying, listen to me, boys. Don't make the same mistake we made. Give God whatever belongs to him. Give God what he wants. Don't try to take it for yourself. And the Bible says the day came, in the process of time, that Cain and Abel came to bring an offering to God. Now, they knew the difference. If not, God would be unjust in doing what he had to do. But they knew the difference. They came in, they brought an offering to God. The Bible says Cain brought an animal, a blood offering. And God accepted it. Or Abel, I should say, brought the offering, and God accepted it. Cain came in with the produce from the ground. Now, don't misunderstand. That's an offering at times, but that's not what God required at this particular time. And the Bible says God accepted Abel's offering, didn't accept Cain's. Cain got mad. You know the story. He got so angry he went and killed his brother. Revenge came up. All because he wanted to give what he wanted to give God, not what God required. You understand that? Now, so we see that, if you come on down through, there's a number of different scriptures we could touch on. I don't have time to get down through it. Jericho, for instance. See, the tithe is always the first portion. You get that? Honor the Lord with the first fruits. The tithe belongs to God. Adam, everything else is there except my portion. The tithe is holy to the Lord. You don't own it. I don't own it. It's amongst our stuff, like in the tree. It was in the amongst of all the Adam's stuff, but it belonged to God. You had to give it to God. Now, so anyway, in Jericho is where they came out right here. They came through all this here, and they came into the promised land. And the first city that they came up against when they crossed the Jordan River was Jericho. You know the story of the walls of Jericho came down. Okay? But God warned them. He said, listen, all the silver is mine. All the gold. Now, some people say, God is pretty silver. God don't need silver and gold. I mean, what's God going to do with silver and gold? Like somebody said one time, this rich man died and wanted to take some gold to heaven. And he got up and Peter said, what do you got in the suitcase? He opened up and some gold. Peter said, you brought pavement? It's all up there. I mean, the streets are paved with gold. You know? And so God doesn't need our gold or our silver. God said, all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine. He said, don't touch it or there's going to be a curse. And God said, burn the city to the ground. It had to be a burnt offering to God. He said, but it wasn't fair to God. Listen, God owns it all. God owns it all. These people were heathen people. They were killing their children. They were offering them sacrifices. God said, wipe it out. Their sin has come up. Anyway, they came in, defeated Jericho, and went on. And when they came up, there's another city that wasn't so well guarded called Ai. That's how it was spelled, Ai. Okay? And they were coming into Ai, and the military people got together and they said, listen, we don't have to send all the army up there. They're just sending in 2,000 or 3,000 people. There'll be no problem. They'll take them easy. So they said, okay. So they got up and they went in to take Ai, and they sent in, I think it was 3,000 soldiers. And the Bible says the men of Ai attacked the Israelites, and, you know, just I think it was 36 men that killed, and they had to run for their lives to get back. And they came back home and defeated. And they said, man, what happened? I thought God was with us. I thought God was going to bless us. God told us to go in and take the land. And Joshua got kind of upset, and he went before God. And he said, God, what's going on? How come you never went with us? Why is all this happening? And God said to Joshua, I mean, you read it there. God said to Joshua, Joshua, get up off your knees. Get up off your face, he said, because Joshua was down prostrate before the Lord. He said, get up off your face. It's not my problem. He said, there's sin. He said, I told you, he said, not to touch the accursed thing, not to touch what belonged to me. He said, this was mine. This is the first fruits. All the rest of the land is yours, but this was mine. See, same principle back there. They brought a curse on themselves. He said, this is mine. And Joshua started to do a search through the camp, and they found a fellow named Achan. And the Bible says he took some Babylonian garments, he took some gold, he took some silver, and he hid it in his own tent. And God said, that belonged to me. Not because God needed it. God just wanted them to know who owned everything. God just wanted them to put him first. Right? Don't ever get to the place where you put God down second or third or fourth. You know, look after God. After I get everything else paid off, I'll give God something if there's anything left over. That's not putting God first. God said, you honor me first, I'll honor you. And anyway, they took the stuff and got rid of it and everything else. And then from then on, God started blessing them again. You see, you got to honor God with what belongs to him. You want to look it up, it's in Joshua chapter 6 and chapter 7. God said, Israel sinned, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen. God said, when they took it, they stole from him. He said, you've stolen. And they put it even amongst their own stuff. See this again? They put it amongst their own stuff. Sometimes we use God's tithe and we put it amongst our own stuff to pay our bills. God said, that's wrong. You don't do that. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Now don't get mad at me. Okay, we're going to finish up. Just like Adam and Eve, they stole what belonged to God. We don't have time. There's other scriptures I'm going to go into, but I want just to save time. I'll give you this. Over in the New Testament, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money was. It's the love of money. Now you can commit that sin without 5 cents in your pocket. Okay, some people look at somebody who's rich and say, oh, you know, but the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, therefore they're evil. That's not what he's saying. You could have billions of dollars and not commit that sin. But you can commit the sin with not 5 cents in your pocket. It's the love of money See, this is what I was back there with Adam and Eve. Right? They loved what belonged to God and touched it, and the curse came. That's what happened to the children of Israel. You go down there and through. It's the root of all evil. It's the thing that caused Adam to sin. If you look back at it, it's the thing that caused Satan to fall from heaven, is wanting what belonged to God. Caused Adam to sin. Caused the Israelites to fall. Jesus said it this way, and I'll finish up. He said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We don't have time to get into it, but anyway. That blessing that they lost back there in the Garden of Eden, God says, the way you get that back is put me first. Put God first. This is why God told him, the very first commandment, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Put God first. That's what tithing is all about. And as I said earlier, tithing has got nothing to do with money, even though money is involved. But this, if you look at it as a money thing, it's always going to be a struggle for you. But if you look at it as an honor thing, putting God first, honoring God, it'll be a blessing. And I can guarantee you, now, you know, you can put up your hands if you want to or not, but I guarantee you that every last person here that's tithing, now I don't know, and I told you last week, I don't know if you give 5 cents or $5 or $5,000 to the church. I honestly do not know. You can ask Jennifer, you can ask John, they look after the finance. I have nothing to do with it. I don't see any of it. All I know is what I put in myself and my wife. I don't know what my daughter puts in. I don't know what anybody puts in. And I want it to be that way. I don't want to know, because if I knew that and I knew you weren't tithing, I would look at you all while I'm preaching this. No, seriously, but you know what I'm saying? I honestly do not know what anybody's putting in. That's between you and God. And Jennifer's never ever told me, oh, so-and-so's put in this much, so much. I've never had that problem with Jennifer or Bill before that. Never ever had it. Never, you know. That's between you and God. Okay? But I can guarantee you, those that have tithe and those that are tithers wouldn't want to stop. Honestly. I mean, if they came, I mean, there are people out there to try to tell you that tithing is not for today. That's fine. You can believe what you want to. To me, it is for today. And even if it wasn't, I found that it blesses anyway. And it works. So I wouldn't stop tithing. You know, and I can guarantee you, you can talk to anybody that's been tithing, and they'll tell you the very same thing. You know, when you put God first, God will honor you. If you honor God, he'll honor you. God said, you return the tithe to me? He said, I'll return the blessing to you. He said, man, I've been giving money. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And I've been doing that. You know, and I just can't seem to get ahead. But have you been tithing? Have you been saying to the Lord, Lord, this is my tithe. I'm bringing it to you as a covenant with God? Because God said, if you return the tithe, I'll return the blessing. I'll give you the power to get wealth. The tithe, just like back there in the Garden of Eden, it's amongst our stuff, but it belongs to God. When you get your check, your tithe, God's part is in there. Now it's up to you what you want to do with it. If you honor God with it, God will honor the other. I've proven this. I don't know any other way of saying it. I've seen this so many times. When you give God his place and you honor him, he'll honor you. But the 90% will go a lot farther than the 100% would have ever gone. You know, and anyway, the tithe is the Lord's. Next week is Mother's Day. The week after, we're talking about, where does the tithe go? What is it used for? Okay? Don't get nervous. Not going to come down on you. This one's a bit harder today, but next one probably won't be so hard. But anyway, where does the tithe go? What is it used for? And that's what we're talking about next time.